5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. And yes, the plan is to carry Jay Norvell's press conference, introductory press conference, at 2:30 today for our Northern Colorado fans. So excited for you guys to hear that. As long as we don't have any technical glitches, which you never know, man. It's live radio. Live stuff, but we'll be
KFKA.
Yeah,
never heard of it.
KFKA. We do pretty damn good. It's the external factors that I'm worried about.
It's never our fault.
It's never our fault. I mean that. You know how many places we've gone to do broadcasts and the, you know, high school games, and they're like, we don't set up for you. Been through that. But we have pros, man. We have pros that get the job done. So we're going to bring that at 2:30. I'll probably pipe in. I'll be here sitting in the studio. I'll pipe in around 2:20 or so, and we'll just kind of monitor it as we get ready to air that. It's a new era for Colorado State. It's a pretty big day for this Rams team. So how are we feeling about that? Eastside Chris, I agree with Pillow Fight Dan. I'm sure a half hour of hooliganism would elevate your show to the must-listen-to list. As far as coach speak, hooliganism, is that right?
The word?
I don't know. Eastside Chris always takes us on a journey. He says, Williams is a grinder. Surtain has been in the right place, right time. His let up on hitting Mahomes, you are holding that against him, was a business decision. No, it was a penalty decision. I think if you lay up on Mahomes at that point, you get a penalty, man.
You breathe on Mahomes, you're going to get fined or something.
I don't think that was the same as Teddy not tackling.
He actually tried this time.
He did, but
if he'd have done that in the other game, he probably would have stopped him.
Probably, and but you'd have one more game.
Shoulder bump, exactly what we were asking him to
That's
do.
That's all he asked. And I don't even. Some people were like, yeah, he didn't really try that hard. I'm like, I just needed a try. Teddy Bridgewater ain't a linebacker. They're not paying him to tackle people. They're paying him to kind of throw the ball 3 yards every time. That's what he's being paid for. Look downfield. No. Not taking that one. Javonte. 2 yard pass. Throw the ball. Go deep. What was it? Was it snowing? Was it crazy weather? I don't think so. I mean, it was cold.
Wasn't as bad as Buffalo last night.
Yeah, it was windy, I guess, but it wasn't as bad as Buffalo. I mean, throw it up. See what happens. Patrick Mahomes threw a few downfield. And Brady Bridgewater did throw a few downfield. So it's not like the wind was that bad. Why are they so frustrating to me? 6-6?
I told you this 2 weeks ago, Brady. I can't help you now.
You
got on the hype train again, and I know.
Young Brady would have been like, 6-6, man. We are okay. We're going to be Detroit. We're going to be 7-6. We're going to be right in the thick of it. But like older, curmudgeon-y neighborhood Jim Brady, that's me now, is like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean, I get that Kansas City's good, but you held Patrick Mahomes to like his worst game. And you score 9 points. I don't understand. The game plan, Vic Fangio, Pat Shermer, there's no way at all Vic Fangio is coming back next year. There is absolutely zero way. Dixon says, Brady, I didn't get a listen yesterday because I was still hungover in Kansas City. Was the sky falling around here? Who are we blaming stuff on now? Shermer or what? Shermer, yes. Victor, absolutely. Teddy, two gloves, check down, Bones, Bridgewater. You better believe it. Your three most important positions. Offensive coordinator is pretty important, right? I don't know how important that is, but your two most important positions. A guy that runs 20 plays, goes for it on 4th-and-2, runs it right up the gut. Everybody knew what they were doing, didn't get it. And I know that was Pat Shermer's call, but Vic signed off on it. And Teddy Bridgewater, dude, I tweeted at the end of the game. I was like, can we please just put Drew Lock in? I don't care. I'd rather see a turnover. Because if I have to watch Teddy Bridgewater just throw 2 yard passes for the next 9 minutes, I'm going to have to pour some whiskey. And it's Sunday. I try not to drink heavily on Sundays.
You weren't already drinking at that point?
No, I typically don't because I like to be fresh for the show Monday. And then usually after the first show Monday, I'm so irritated by whatever topic we've decided to go with and however many hooligans piss me off or whatever, I'm ready to have the whiskey then. So I try to survive. I always tell myself, I'm going to make it an entire week without a drop of alcohol. And then Monday hits.
There's a bottle in the studio somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, have you checked Tanner's office? Dixon says, you need a QB. Every QB Elway drafted or brought. Here it is. Couldn't get. Elway has nothing to do with it anyway. Okay. Every QB Elway drafted or brought in besides Manning has been terrible. And Teddy is just another addition by Peyton. That sucks. This is still the Elway hangover. No, because George Payton could have drafted a guy that just won a football game throwing it one time, three times, five times. He could have drafted that guy. He could have drafted Justin Fields, too.
Could have had Mac Jones.
Yeah, that's him. That's the guy that threw two passes or whatever, five passes. I lost track after one. Three? Was it three?
It was three.
It's a weird game.
I was watching. I was like, this is just so boring to watch.
I always think bad weather games are going to be fun, and then you get there, and you're just like, okay, it really is affecting them. Like, it's all like, right.
Just like they just ran the ball the entire game, and Buffalo couldn't stop them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a credit to their offensive line, because they have a really good line and great running back out of Alabama, Damien Harris. They're everywhere.
There's another Alabama hit for you.
They're everywhere.
New. Bridgewater tried as hard to tackle that defender as I do to not renew my gold membership at the Den with the Eaton Moms. There it is, Noob. Thank you for that. Thank you. Got it. Nailed it. Eastside Chris, so what is the problem for a penalty at the one-yard line? You could get thrown out of the game. If you, with Mahomes on that run to the right, if Patrick Surtain like tries to lay him out, and they call him like walking out of bounds, and he hits him. You could get out for targeting, couldn't you?
Did you see the Pittsburgh quarterback on Saturday? He did like a fake slide, and completely froze the defenders. Like,
What the hell do you do in that state?
Exactly, it should be an illegal play, but
it's like a fake free throw.
Yeah,
whoop or a fake pitch in baseball. Here it comes. No, it doesn't. You're out.
Like well, that like, as a defender, I was
that should
about
be
this on
a 15-yard penalty.
Like, defenders aren't, they have to change the way they play the game now because you can't.
Yeah, offense doesn't have to.
Quarterback.
Offense doesn't have to change the way they play the game as much. Pillow Fight Dan says, what? We piss you off? Sorry, Dad.
He's not mad. He's just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed, but I'm used to it now. I'm used to it. We get there. It's fine.
I expect them to do better, but if they don't, I'm not going to be surprised.
No. Same. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. I want nicknames. Add your nicknames. Dixon's nickname doesn't even appear anymore. Is that because, like, the evil that is Dixon is so evil that it dissolved his name from the text line? It's just the number now. His name has been there for years, dude. And then suddenly it's not there anymore. Did the ancient wizards of hooligan lore come in and wipe his name from the database and he has to re-earn his way back up? He says, I can start bashing on Peyton if you want. This blank is too easy. Dude, I love George Peyton.
It's Tuesday, so we could do a Top Text Tuesday.
We could.
We haven't done one in a while.
I haven't done one in a while. All I have to do, all I can give away today is a stapler. We're on short supply with stuff. So it's different. Yeah, we've kind of been back on that. We could.
I can give an autograph or something.
Yeah, you can do an autograph. All right, 14 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We're going to bring Chris Murray on the program. Chris Murray knows a thing or two about Jay Norvell. He covered him for the years that he was there. He's with Nevada Sports Net. We're bringing him on next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
From the coach, tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's a big day in northern Colorado, specifically in Fort Collins. We're going to have the press conference here at 2:30. We'll air that for you on KFKA. Jay Norvell getting ready to give his opening press conference as the new head coach for the Colorado State Rams. Joining me now, Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet. Chris probably knows a thing or two about the Rams' new head coach. Chris, my friend, I know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Yeah, no problem.
How you guys doing, man? I mean, we're CSU fans are just, it seems like they're just absolutely through the moon with this hire. So much different than the Addazio situation going on. So there's a lot of excitement in Fort Collins. What's the atmosphere like in Nevada?
Well, I think they're upset. I don't think they're upset so much at Jay. I mean, Nevada's gotten used to losing some really good coaches, but they have always gotten to Power 5 jobs, whether it was Eric Musselman going to Arkansas or Jay Johnson, a baseball coach, going to Arizona. He's now at LSU. Like, those are more understandable than losing your football coach within your own conference for the first time in the history of the Mountain West. So I think there are a lot of questions being asked about the kind of support or lack of support that Jay Norvell felt to leave Nevada for a team within the Mountain West and, you know, a team that hasn't won a Mountain West championship in a long time. It's not like this is the premier program in the conference. There's obviously a salary difference. I mean, making $1.8 million a year is a lot different than the $625,000 he was making here. Nevada was willing to raise that up to the seven-figure mark, but certainly not up to the Colorado State mark. So I think people are asking Nevada to be a little bit self-reflective about how they let this coach get away to a team within its own conference.
Yeah, well, and it's such a rare thing. As you said, this is the first time it's happened in the Mountain West Conference. So it's not just a great coach moving on for Power 5 or what have you. This is just moving, some would say, even kind of just a lateral move within the conference. And I say it's not really a lateral move when you add the money to it, of course. But it's that one's got to sting a little extra because it's a move within the conference. I saw you retweeted Carson Strong moments ago, said, hey, not crazy about seeing you in that green, but congrats. Maybe that's kind of the mixed feelings, right? That they're happy for the guy, but it's also kind of an awkward situation.
Yeah, and he'll be coming back to Reno next year to play at Mackey Stadium, so that will be a fun game. It'll be interesting to see if he gets booed or if he gets cheered. I think Jay was very well liked during his time at Nevada. He was certainly more well liked than his predecessor, Brian Polian, who the community was down on pretty early in his tenure, and he never really recovered. I think people here, within the community and certainly within that locker room, really respected Jay. I mean, Jay's a very good player's coach. He's a very good person, which I think is actually pretty rare in college football. So I think he built a lot of really strong relationships, both in Northern Nevada and certainly on his own roster. And, you know, those people were probably a little bit disappointed, but it has been interesting to see that there's not been much vitriol directed his way, either from within that locker room or within this community. So I do think, you know, the whole point of losing within your conference, you know, it looks lateral. I don't think they're lateral jobs. I did rank all the Mountain West jobs a couple of years ago, and I had Colorado State at number 4 in the conference and Nevada at number 8. Certainly the operating budget is bigger, the salary is bigger, the facilities are better. There are a lot of things going for CSU. I mean, the academic portfolio is better than even Nevada. So I don't think it's necessarily lateral, but it's not the kind of jump that everybody was expecting. Even Jay himself, I think Jay would have told you that he would have been heading for a Power 5 job straight from Nevada, and maybe he didn't think he could get there from this position and with this support. So he had to kind of take an intermediate stop, and now he's getting paid as one of the top 10 coaches in the Group of 5.
Yeah. Now, talking to Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet, and you said it, you know, most fans are, you know, still pretty positive about the guy. And boy, doesn't that say a lot about a coach that just moved on and then moved over to the conference? I mean, you, in some aspects, you could see a lot of fans being extremely upset. But as you said, seems like such a good guy, such a likable guy. Tell us a little bit more about that, because you're right. It does seem like the players and the fans, from what we've seen on a small scale anyway, are still pretty, you know, pretty cool with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is when you talk to these players off the record, I mean, they're going to say nice things on the record. They're not going to say, I don't like my coach, he's kind of an idiot kind of thing. But if you talk them off the record, you know, they really appreciate the investment he made in them personally, the investment that he made in their careers and helping them get to a point to where they are. I mean, you mentioned that Carson Strong tweet. That is a kid who had one scholarship offer at the FBS level, and now it's probably going to be a top 3 round draft pick in next year's NFL draft. So helping them make that transformation, giving them that opportunity. You know, he's just a Midwestern guy. I mean, this is a guy who grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. His dad was an athletic director at Michigan State. He's been around college athletics his entire life. He still has that kind of Midwestern charm about him. You know, he was like childhood friends with Chris Farley and Bob Johnson, the head coach of the Miracle on Ice hockey team. So this is a guy who's very humble. He's very passionate, certainly, about what he does. He's a very hard worker. He's a guy who had to pay his dues. He didn't get a head coaching job until age 53. I mean, this is a guy who was interviewing for head coaching jobs for 15 years before Nevada gave him the opportunity. And I think that's what stings to a degree. I mean, the Wolfpack picked him up from being the wide receivers coach at Arizona State. He had kind of seen his career kind of go on the tail end after being the offensive coordinator at UCLA and Nebraska and Oklahoma, got fired from Oklahoma, went to Texas for a year, went to Arizona State for a year. It looked like the window had kind of closed on his opportunity to be a head coach. Nevada gave him that opportunity. He obviously took it and ran. And I feel like if there's any kind of anger, it's just that, you know, Nevada gave him the opportunity. He had success, and he didn't stick it out and wait until that Power 5 job opened. So I think beyond that, though, I mean, people are, you know, happy that he's getting this opportunity, both within that locker room and in the community as well.
Chris, there are some fans up here that are, you know, they're saying things like, hey, you know, the worry, I suppose, is that on that Power 5 situation, that he's going to do what McElwain did, kind of build this thing back up quickly, maybe, we hope anyway, in 3 years or so, and then look for that. He will be in his early 60s at that point if he does in fact build it up 3 or 4 years. Do you see him still, like, that's the ultimate goal for him, is to get onto a Power 5, be a head coach at that point? Or could you realistically see him settle down and just kind of establish some roots for the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years if Rams fans are lucky?
I think that's really rare. I mean, you guys saw it with Sonny Lubick. We saw it with Chris Hall. Mm-hmm. I don't think those coaches really exist anymore. I think every coach wants to be at the Power 5 level. Every coach believes they can win a national championship. They're that good. They could put that kind of program together. I think you see the kind of money being thrown around at the Power 5. I mean, $80 million contracts to Mel Tucker and Mario Cristobal and Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin. It goes, the money is so ridiculous at that next level that that's always going to be hard to turn down, whether it's just the money itself or the opportunity. That being said, he did interview for a number of Power 5 jobs and he didn't get them. So maybe there's just something that hasn't put him over the hump. I would say if you're Nevada and you look at, do we want to pay Jay Norvell $1.8 million a year? You know, arguably, he just had the best roster he's ever going to have at Nevada. You have Carson Strong, who's a, you know, really high draft pick. You have Cole Turner and Romeo Dubs, probably top 100 draft picks. Their entire defense was basically seniors, a lot of them fifth-year seniors, and they couldn't quite get over that hump. Last year, they were a half away against San Jose State, up 13 at half, and they lose that game in the regular season finale, and they don't get to the Mountain West title game. This year, they lose 3 Mountain West games by a combined 6 points. So maybe are you thinking, if you're Nevada, is this the guy who can get us to that championship level, or would it be better to take the $2 million buyout and move forward? Now, I would have tried to keep him no matter what, just for the continuity and the fact that I think he's a good person and a good coach, but I do think that there's maybe that concern if you're making this hire. You're certainly getting a very good football coach, a good football man, and a good person. Are you getting a guy who can get you to that championship level? I mean, Colorado State and Nevada are two of the only 4 schools in the Mountain West to not play in a Mountain West title game since the divisional split in 2012. The other 2 schools are UNLV and New Mexico. And you don't really want to be on a list with UNLV and New Mexico in terms of football.
Yeah, and those are interesting points, too, because you're right. It was a stacked roster, and obviously Carson Strong. I'd like to see him in a Broncos uniform, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I think you're going to Denver Broncos. Okay,
yes,
yeah, that
yes.
might happen. That might happen. I thought you were going to say a Rams uniform. I'm like, he's not coming, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he did bring some players. I mean, you saw what Blake Anderson did at Utah State, bringing 3 players from Arkansas State and winning the Mountain West. I think players like Jay enough that you could see some guys transfer over there. But, Carson, probably more likely in a Broncos uniform than a Rams one.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I tweeted that out the other day. I said, hey, you know what? CSU's going to get Nevada's head coach. The Broncos might get Nevada's quarterback someday. And people were like, how do you know he's not transferring over to CSU? I'm like, he's going to be a top 3 guy, so I can't see it happening.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I mean, the question for us is, will he play in the bowl game? And I think at this point, you know, probably not so much with Jay not there. But, he could bring some talented guys over there. I mean, there are a number of really good players still on this Wolfpack roster. They're certainly losing a lot of talent. But, I think the taboo of taking players with you is kind of gone after the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. You said it, he's a great guy, nice guy. We're going to hear from him in about an hour in his press conference. Steve Adazio was not exactly media friendly. He wasn't really inviting. The fan base didn't feel that either. So compare that to what we're going to see with Jay Norvell. I mean, it seems like just from the outside looking in, Chris, that he's pretty darn cool to the media and the fans, as we've already talked about, pretty love the guy.
he's professional, you know, and I think that's all you can ask from a media standpoint. I don't think fans care how a coach treats the media all that much, but
right.
if I could, that is my biggest thing with losing Jay Norvell from Nevada. Like, I don't root for the team. I cover the team, but he's just a guy who, no matter what you write or say, if it's on, you know, the level, if you're not taking cheap shots at him, he's going to accept it and he's going to acknowledge it and he's not going to get all bitter or frail about it. And I've dealt with coaches like that in the past. This is a guy who will invest in the community. His wife, Kim Norvell, is a great person as well. She's dealt with cystic fibrosis her entire life, and she likes to do fundraisers for that very deadly disease. You know, they're just very good people, and, you know, he's going to do his best to market the team. Nevada did not have the most success in terms of attendance, but the Wolfpack puts a lot of burden on these coaches to market their own team. So, yeah, you're going to love covering him. I think fans are going to love, you know, being able to see him out in the community and, you know, the kind of enthusiasm he's going to bring. I mean, he's a football guy through and through. He really does love the sport, and I think he's in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think it's going to be fun, of course, for Colorado State fans, especially after what just happened. I mean, a year and a half. It was a weird situation, Chris, with Steve Addazio, no doubt about it. You know, on many fronts, I thought for the longest time, you know, if you save the outside stuff, take the outside stuff away, do you really want to move on from a guy after a year and a half? They only played in four games last year, but there was just so many things going on. And of course, as you saw firsthand, he doesn't even go out to the middle field to shake hands at the end of the Nevada CSU game because he was ejected before halftime. So those things just really started to mount up. And at the end of the day, that just seemed like there was no choice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they made a bad decision, but the only, you know, it's a sunk cost. So what are you going to do? You're just going to keep driving your program down. I mean, you want to get fans into that stadium. You don't want apathy when you put $220 million into a stadium. So I think they made the right decision. I think they hired a coach that at minimum is going to get them to a bowl every single season, whether you can get them to that Mountain West championship level. That's to be determined. But yeah, it's certainly a big upgrade. They made a mistake a couple years ago, and they had to pay the price to fix it, but you know, if you have the right coach in place, a lot of the other things solve themselves financially.
Chris, so what's next for you guys? I'm sure you guys are knee deep in the coaching search, and who potentially that's going to be for Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to come up quick, right? I mean, you have signing day next Wednesday, so I think they've got about seven more days to get someone in place here. So the timing's not great. You know, Nevada doesn't pay the highest salary. Nevada does not have an indoor football practice facility. I still think it's a pretty attractive job, though. I mean, this is a team that's been to a bowl 14 of the last 17 years. It's right next to California. Great recruiting opportunities in Southern California and Northern California. You know, it's a community that really does care about their program. They might not have the highest attendance marks, but, you know, there's really not any other competition outside of a AAA team in baseball. So I think they'll get a good, person. Doug Knuth, the athletic director here since 2013, has really hit a home run on every revenue sport hire he's made, from Eric Musselman to, as I mentioned before, Jay Johnson. TJ Bruce is a baseball coach who's won a couple of Mountain West championships. Obviously, Jay Norvell did a really good job. He hired Steve Alford. So he has not missed yet, even though he has to deal with kind of a shoestring budget. So, you know, I don't have any specific names for you. We're still kind of early in the process, but it's going to have to move quick if they want this done before signing day.
Chris, we appreciate you coming on, man. I know it's been a whirlwind for you guys, and you're a busy man. And, hey, hopefully we can reconnect when we get up to next season, when these two teams meet again. We'd love to get your take on that.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet says all the right things that I think Rams fans wanted to hear. An amazing guy, heck of a coach. The negative, though, if you wanted to find the negative, was what Chris had mentioned there at the end, or in the middle of the interview, was that the best? Nevada probably had the best roster it's had under him, and very good record, but they didn't get over that hump as far as competing in for a Mountain West championship game. And I guess to that, you just kind of say, well, this is... Look at San Diego State, top 24 team. Utah State, pretty damn good. Who'd they lose to? Nevada lost to San Diego State, Fresno State, and Air Force. I mean, all three of those teams. That was when Fresno State was, and they were pretty damn good, 9-3. But there was a time when they were ranked, and I think that was right around that time. So I would just say to that, Nevada ended the season 8-4 with a 5-3 record in the conference, but the teams in front of them, Fresno State and San Diego State, were having monster years too. And I know that's an excuse, whatever, but I think it's fair to say the teams in front, you know, and I know San Diego State ended up losing, but the teams in front ultimately were pretty damn good all season long. So that's what I would say to that side of it. Now, he did scare me a little bit because I was pretty set in stone with my whole, he's 58, he's probably going to be here for a while. But according to Chris, who obviously has covered this guy a hell of a lot longer, I've not even talked to him yet, is that the Power 5 conference is still kind of that dream that's out there. But he wouldn't be getting it at best until 62 or 3, probably, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, 62 or 3 is not that old, especially nowadays. People can live to be like robots now, man, like 120, 150, 200 years. Depends on your level of income, I guess. But I still feel like at this stage, yeah, he's probably going to be here for a while. He's probably going to be here for the long haul. What does the long haul look like? I mean, if you're a Rams fan, you're hoping he's good enough to be a 5-10 year guy. 10 years is so rare, but that's the goal, right? That's what, if you're an organization, you want that. Like CSU basketball wants Nico Medved to be here 10 years, really lay down roots and establish a culture. It takes a lot of time to do that, a lot of time, a lot of wins, a lot of success. And so if you get that success in 3 to 4 years, which is the hope, is he now interviewing for a Power 5 job? If you're the Rams, would you want to be in that position, I guess. You'd rather be in that position than having to fire your coach after 2 years. But I don't know. That was the only thing that kind of made me sad there. I was hoping Chris would just give us all puppies and rain. Kind of felt bad, though. It's like Nevada, right? That's got to suck. Because they're in the Mountain West is already a stepping stone. CSU is a stepping stone job. Nevada is like a way bigger stepping stone job. Like that is, you know, you get that job because you don't get a Power 5, whatever. You go there, you try to grow, you try to build, and then you can move. I mean, he moved up. This is not a lateral move for many reasons. The pay, number one, and the resources that he has now. CSU, you can complain. This is why the pressure was on Addazio. This is why the pressure was on Joe Parker, because you have the beautiful stadium. You have all of the assets you need to get recruits over there. Now, let's face it. It's Fort Collins. That's another recruiting tool. I mean, you're an Alabama guy, but you love it in the state of Colorado. I know you're Greeley, but Greeley's 5 seconds away from Fort Collins. This northern Colorado area is a prime spot.
No, it's great. It's growing. There's the community is here is great. And something that I've seen with McCaffrey is being able to get the in-state guys that maybe don't get the big-time offers from a California school or a Texas or an SEC school. And there's a lot of good football players in Colorado too.
Yeah. No, there is. And again, my hope is that you get, he said it though. The Sonny Lubics are rare. I'm just going to keep being hopeful until we get another one. Like, I sure hope Nico Medved is a Sonny Lubick. I hope Jay Norvell can become, like, Sonny Lubick-esque. Like, he'd have to be here a long time, into his 70s, right, to be Sonny Lubick type. Nico Medved has that chance because he's young. He's built something already. But I don't know. The competition-wise, Medved could stay here and be happy because CSU could just as well go do big things. And like, could you realize, I'm not going to predict that they're going to win a national championship ever, but would you be shocked if I said, yeah, I think someday they could? Not really, just because it's basketball. Now, getting over that Elite Eight Final Four hump is always difficult when you have the group of five, or whatever the hell you want to call them, in mid-majors. It's difficult, but it can be done. But it's not about that. It's as Jeff Goodman pointed out yesterday from Stadium that what is he making? What did we say he was making? 700? Was that what Nico Medved efforting music? Let's see what is Nico Medved currently making? Thank you. Thank you for that. $775,000. $775,000. And you know, as you pointed out on Oco Now, there's guys making $3 million. There's guys making $5 million. There's guys making $8 million. I don't know if Medved's there yet, but he's definitely worth more than $1 million just from what we've seen growing. what he can build. Sorry to give you the bad news on that. I don't know. No. Back to puppies and rainbows. We got a great press conference coming up at 2:30 with Jay Norvell addressing fans and media today. So back to puppies, rainbows, and kittens. Nico Medved's not going anywhere. He'll be here for 30 years. He will be Sonny Lubick of basketball. They'll have 3, 4, 5 national titles when it's all said and done. Jay Norvell will be here till he's 73 years old. By that time, he has reestablished this wonderful culture that's winning Mountain West championships, and who knows, maybe even getting into a college football playoff someday when they expand it, like my grand plan to get them all the conferences a representative in the playoffs. And all those things are going to happen, and then his protege comes right in and takes off, and you've got a great culture built up. And CSU is wonderful.
Quite the dream,
and then UNC follows suit because it's not that far away, so the culture is spilling over into Greeley. The football is bleeding all over Northern Colorado, and everybody just loves football and basketball, and it's amazing up here.
Let's just get the Broncos and Nuggets going.
Well, you got to get somebody else other than Nikola Jokic to do something. Will Barton had 19 points, but his minus was 21.
Can Teddy switch?
Put Joker on. Why do you keep putting me in a dark place, Angel? You keep bringing up Teddy Bridgewater, and that
you'd
just
rather have Drew Locke or Nikola Jokic as your quarterback.
Oh, Drew Locke. But I bet you Joker would have tried to tackle him on that fumble a few weeks ago. He would have shoved him in the back and knocked his out.
That or his brother's. Brother would have ran from the top.
Probably.
Top row.
Oh, every time Joker gets sacked or something, one of the brothers would be running out. Are we due for a bottom of the hour break? Is that where we are? Wow.
Yeah.
We're late.
There's no clock today.
All right, 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Don't forget, we're gonna bring you the Jay Norvell press conference for the very first time, the big one, coming up at 2:30. So you got to keep it here, 103.1, 1310, or online at 1310kfk.com. Right now, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, there is a part of me that wants to see like a head coach walk down to like WWE music style right before their press conference. Hold up their hands, look to the crowd. But I just want a regular guy for a change that's just going to come out and say, we're excited about what we're going to build here. That's what I'm looking for in this press conference today. Nobody's going to say the wrong thing in a press conference, Angel. If you do, run. If your head coach, the day he's announced, during his first press conference, says the wrong things, then you're doomed.
You want a perfect press conference for reference? 2007, when Nick Saban came to Alabama.
Oh, here it is.
It's great. He set the message from then on, and 15 years later, still going.
Of course, we're going to start doing a game with Angel. The over-under Bama, which I love. I think that would actually be good. We need to get a counter every time you say do an Alabama reference. It's like, ching. And I bet you Hooligans, this is better than DraftKings.
I'll tell you. So me and my roommate on Sundays, we'll watch. We have Red Zone on all day. And if any time a Bama player makes a play, I'm like, oh, he went to Bama.
You're one of those guys.
He was on this team.
You are one of those guys.
I know these guys.
Angel, you're such a likable guy. What happened to you on that?
I have followed these guys through recruiting, through high school, college, NFL. Like,
we'll do the
it's hard to keep track of
the Angel Alabama tracker. At some point, we'll have that going. No, I mean
especially after a couple weeks from now and get a big win on our belts.
I was actually rooting for Alabama this weekend. I was.
Not a lot of people were.
They were the dog in this one. So, I mean, I was rooting. Did it feel weird that they were the dog?
No.
Weren't they the dog in this? Wasn't the spread?
They were 6-point underdogs.
How did you feel about that?
I felt fine. The night of, I was a little nervous, but I woke up that next morning and I just felt, I'm like, this team's going to be ready. Plenty of rat poison, as Saban likes to say. Positive. Just don't talk bad about them. You want them gone. You want them out. Stop talking bad.
But people
it's just motivation.
People hate greatness.
Yep.
They hate greatness. We say we love it, but we hate greatness. I don't have a problem with Alabama. I don't have a problem with Tom Brady. I don't have a problem with the Patriots. I don't have a problem with, when the Warriors were winning games, because I want to be, I want, like, my dad gets to go back and say, yeah, I was, because I was a little kid when the Bulls were doing their thing. I didn't realize what kind of greatness I was seeing at that point. But I want to be able to tell my son one day, yeah, freaking Tom Brady had three Hall of Fame careers in one. I mean, he literally had, if you just take the first 5 years, has he been in the league 22 years, whatever that is? You could take like 7 years and break that off into 7 years. Each one of those chunks of seven are Hall of Fame careers.
I remember when Nikola Jokic won 5 MVPs.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a big fan of greatness. I love it. So I'm not one of the guys. Speaking of greatness, the GOAT Sports Bar.
Nice.
You know how, like, if you love greatness, if you want greatness, then you go to the GOAT. They're located near Center Place of Greeley. I'm actually going over there today after the press conference because I'm starving. I usually go grab lunch with my friend. I do my prep and everything, and then I go to lunch with a good friend of mine who works here, who gets done with a show that's on 9 to 11, who always tells me if I'm not going to be able to go to lunch with him today. And I don't like to go eat lunch by myself because I think it's weird. Unless I'm working, that's different. But I didn't get to go. So now I've got to wait till like 3:30 to go eat lunch. So I'll be over at the GOAT if you guys want to come by, say hello, and we'll eat some Wisconsin cheese curds and maybe have a beverage or something like that. That could be fun.
Nice little pregame dinner for the game tonight.
I think so. Big game tonight. Let's go, UNC. Time to get over 500. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Tanner said, Bodie Hume's going off tonight. Is it going to be Bodie, Dalen, Matt Johnson? Or is Core going to get a high-scoring game? Is he going to get one of those monster high-scoring games?
I can see another double-double out of him.
Who's going to be the high scorer tonight?
I'm going to say Dalen.
I mean, Dalen's...
I like this kid.
Dalen's...
He followed me on Twitter, so shout out to Dalen Coons. And Jerry Schimmel.
Dude, you're doing well for yourself.
I finally got Jerry to follow me back since August when I first met him.
It's probably because you produced his game last week, and he's like, Angel, I don't know.
That's the guy. That's the guy that's always tweeting me about the Bears.
He said, Chris Brady, you're at the... We got to take a break. All right, we got to take a break. 49 minutes after the hour. I got a lot of texts coming in. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shut that door, Michael. Thank you. That was too loud. Hopefully nobody heard that. That was embarrassing. Are we going to stay? We might just stay on. Pillow Fight Dan staying. Stay on the air till 2:30. Should we just stay on the air till 2:30 and lead up to this press conference? As we get Jay Norvell to hear from him, probably Joe Parker, about the hire, about the new era for Colorado State? We could do that. I've got to talk to the powers that be, but Michael just came in and shut the door and left, so we gotta figure that out.
He's got to come work with this. I don't know what to do.
It's a lot of stuff, man, and that's why I'm saying we're hopeful we could get this thing on. I'm very sure we can, because we have the greatest in the biz.
Well, he's working on it right now. So.
And he said he can't find, is what I heard was, can't find thingy-deely, is what I was told. So,
that sounds pretty accurate.
Not extremely confident by that. By that response, but we will do what we must to try to get this thing going. UNC tonight, is that, I mean, what's on tonight?
That's got my full attention tonight.
That's the big one, huh? 5-5 are these Bears. And tell you what, folks, pay attention to basketball. You got three basketballs from Boulder North that are really, really good, that are going to be fun to watch all season. So do yourself a favor. I mean, Angel, it's relatively cheap to get out to a college basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
So stop by. Enjoy one of these games. I'm telling you, man, seeing these guys in person is so much fun.
They're pretty tall.
Dude, Bodie was in here the other day. I told you, I look like the Hobbit. He's that tall. And when I saw him the other day, like at football, like one of the pre-camp things, I saw him. But I didn't feel like I was that short, but I am very short. Tanner just texted the door. Was very loud. It is loud, yeah. All right, we're going to stay on the air. We're coming back on the other side. We're going to go overtime today. I'm going to see if I get paid overtime. We're going to get ready for this press conference. Jay Norvell is going to be addressing fans and media for the first time as the Rams head coach. We'll be right back, Northern Colorado.